Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We can't comprehend the transformation that awaits us. With glorified bodies, we'll see all of creation reborn in a cosmic chorus of praise. Today, the transcendent finale to the symphony of God's glory, the end of time, and the beginning of a radiant eternity. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Erwin Lutzer now concludes his final message, God's Glory and Our Glorification.
God says if you believe in Christ, it's done. There's an unbreakable link. You are foreknown, you are predestined, you are justified. God calls those things which are not as if they are and says you are glorified. It's a done deal. And some people already know it on earth. I called my mother yesterday, as I always do on Saturday. She's 101. I didn't ask her yesterday, but I have in the past. Mom, are you sure that you're going to heaven? And you've heard me give her reply many times. I'm as sure as if I'm already there. If you are here today and you're not sure, probably you are not going. Because believers have that assurance because they've trusted Christ. They've not trusted their own good works. They've trusted the finished work of Christ with such confidence. They have trusted Christ alone so that if God should demand anything else, they'd have to turn away and be lost and be damned forever. Why? Because they have so put their trust in Christ. We use the expression, all of their eggs are in that basket. But they believe that Jesus is able to take us all the way into God's presence because we get in on his behalf. And so for Christians, it's already a done deal. Now, if you are here today or you're listening in any other way, maybe by radio, internet, and you have never trusted Christ as Savior, I invite you to do that. Admit your sinfulness. Come and trust him. Get over your infatuation with your own righteousness because it falls short. And come to a Savior who actually saves. There's a second revolutionary idea, and you need to get this. Our glorification contributes to God's own glory. Maybe you've been a little uneasy during this message because you say, Pastor Lutzer, you're talking about our glorification, and doesn't that detract just a little bit from the glory of God, the fact that we also are going to be glorified with bodies like unto Christ, with minds that are absolutely pure? The answer is no, it doesn't detract from his glory, it adds to his glory. Let's think it through, Adam and Eve again. Let us suppose that they had not sinned. Most of us wish they hadn't. Whether or not that would have been best is a huge, huge, huge discussion that thankfully, because I'm speaking, I can conveniently sidestep today. But let us suppose they hadn't sinned. What would they know of God? Well, they'd know that he was the creator. They could certainly sing the song of creation, but they could not sing the song of redemption. They could have never sung, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. They could never have done that. And as I like to explain to people, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is God at his best. It is there where God's holiness and God's love were in tension, and the tension between them was resolved. Love wanted to redeem. Justice said, no, you can't. Justice now is paid, and so justice says to love, now you are free to redeem humanity. And there, like a kaleidoscope, the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, none of which could have been known without a fall. The righteousness of God and the holiness of God and the mercy of God and the redemption of God and the generosity of God could never have been known. And that's why our glorification contributes to the glory of God. When forever we will sing praises that these undeserving people could be so exalted. It won't have anything to do with us. We'll just stand in amazement. You remember, it was Mozart who said in one line, "Help me to remember that I was the cause of your long journey." And in heaven, we will never forget that we were the cause of God's long journey in Jesus. I love to tell that story about Paul Gibson. When he was being honored at Cambridge University, a picture was painted in his honor. He had been principal of Cambridge. And when it was unveiled, he paid tribute to the artist and said, "In years to come, no one will ask who is that man, but they will ask who painted the picture." And my friend, throughout all of eternity, nobody is going to ask who are the redeemed. But throughout all of eternity, the question is going to be, who is their Redeemer? Who is the one who would take people from the pit and tell them that they can now walk in a palace? Who is the one who can do that? Who is the one, you know, who can take us from the mud and make us walk on marble? Who is it that can dig us out of our addictions and our sins and our selfishness and dig us out like that and then make us to rule with Christ? Well, the question is not who are the redeemed. The question is, who is the Redeemer? That's the question. When I was in England a few years ago, I wanted to go to the grave of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great preacher in England. I love to go to the graves of people. I like it when they have gravestones with actually something on them. Sometimes you can't have that today, but in the good old days, they actually put something on the tombstone. One of Spurgeon's favorite hymns was written by William Cooper, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." And some of the stanzas of that hymn are on Spurgeon's tomb. I love this one. "Since ere by faith I saw this stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love shall be my theme and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save." At the end of the day, that's the picture on the box. You and I going through trials, going through heartache, disappointments, family troubles, bills that can't be paid, situations that can't be remedied, injustices that do not fit. We take heart because we know that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, because someday we'll stand in the presence of God redeemed. And think of this, forever. If you love Christ, would you bow your head now in prayer? And if you don't know him, would you bow your head also in prayer? Father, who are we to have spoken about such things? Who are we to imagine heaven and the glory that awaits the humblest child of God? We thank you. And we ask only that you'll make us better worshipers, better trusters, if we can use that word, better at our praise. And may we always remember that it doesn't matter if we get our way, doesn't matter whether we're famous or popular or rich, nothing else matters except your glory. Simplify our lives by showing us that it's not about us, it's all about you. But Lord, there are pockets of resistance in our hearts. Some people are resisting right now because they have this corner that they don't want to give to you. Father, overcome and show them it is best to embrace everything that you have and submit to you. For those, Father, who have never trusted Christ as Savior, I don't know who they are, but they're listening. Would you, Father, break into their lives and show them the glory of the gospel and the wonder of what Jesus did for us? Do that, O God, we pray. Pursue them until they say, here am I give up the weapons of a rebel and submit to Christ, receiving him all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Pastor Luther, and perhaps you've heard me say this before, but it is so easy for us to read these passages of Scripture and to listen to a message like this and to hear the words, but to actually receive those words into our souls. So for a moment before I conclude today, my dear Christian friend, do you realize what really does await us? That our bodies will be translated and transformed like unto his glorious body, and we will be like him, and we will serve one another within the kingdom, and Jesus will be among us. That is our glorification. And when we look back over the trials that we have had here on earth, they will indeed seem so incredibly small, perhaps even irrelevant. And so I want to give you hope today. No matter how difficult life is, it is going to get better. Someday in God's presence, we will indeed see him, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So I conclude today by encouraging you to live in light of eternity. Let us all resolve to be done with sin. Why should our commitment to sin, which often takes place, why should that somehow be important when we have the purity of God's love and grace and victory that has been purchased for us by Jesus Christ? Today, walk in that victory. And as I conclude, thanks for your support, for your prayers, for your love. Together we are making a difference right here on Running to Win.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up God's Glory and Our Glorification, his final message on Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. We hope you've enjoyed the series. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.